so excited to sit down this morning with a good friend, a longtime friend and faculty member, Jennifer Poulin. Jen has been around the Institute and the world of PRI for as long as I can remember. And shortly prior to this podcast, we nailed down her first faculty training and exposure to teaching was around 2009. So Jen, it's great to have you this morning. Jen is a graduate of the University of Vermont. She graduated in 1991 with her Bachelor's of Science in Physical Therapy. She then shortly after, became interested in this concept of postural restoration. And, shortly after the foundation of this institute, Jen, you started taking courses around 1999, even maybe prior to the institute, which we'll get into. In 2005, Jen, you earned the designation of your PRC, Postural Restoration Certified. And at that point, I believe that was that the fourth? I just talked with Mike about this. I think that was the second class. Okay. He was, I think, 04.
We were the second class. I think Mike came after me.
Yeah, so you were before him, yep.
Yes, I was. I try and stay one step ahead of him.
There you go. Well, I put a little humbleness in his fourth. I think he was this class right after you. So I mentioned to him that James was up on that wall first.
Yes.
And actually, then came Jen Poulin. So you actually were ahead of him as well. So, but anyways, Jen, it's great to have you. And I could go on and on and on about, your different accolades and different history with involvement of the institute and your credentialing and schooling, but we'll get into a lot of that. And is there anything that you'd like to tell our listeners just about yourself or your background of, UVA or anything that that I failed to mention there with that intro?
No, I mean, I could talk a little bit about how I got into physical therapy and
Well, the early years. Yeah, let's get right into it, Jen. I guess I always like to start with some of that schooling background on all of our faculty and with all of our guests. We have a lot of listeners that, are potentially considering different routes of schooling. You're a mom of some girls that are getting to the age of attending college and deciphering and considering what's next for them. So you did attend the University of Vermont. I know you loved it. You're passionate about Vermont and the university. And I think you're trying to, you at one point were trying to get one of your kids to maybe consider going there.
Yes.
But Jen, after receiving your bachelor's in physical therapy, kind of walk us through at that point, what was next for you after school? Did you really know how you were going to use your physical therapy degree or what you were interested in at the time?
Okay. So I got into the field of physical therapy, just by chance, really. My mom was a nurse and she practiced nursing well up into her seventh decade. And my dad was an engineer. And growing up, I was always a little bit more intrigued by my mom's stories as being a nurse and not really what my dad was doing as an engineer. And so I think I always knew I wanted to go into healthcare in some capacity based on listening to my mom's story as a pediatric nurse. And when I really didn't know what that was going to be like for me. I thought maybe going to medical school, or I didn't want to go to nursing because I just don't really like, dealing with blood and stuff like that. But when I was 16, I grew up in Vermont, but I never really skied until I was 16. And I went on Easter Sunday. I just had my anniversary of this event and I broke my leg skiing. And that's how I got introduced to physical therapy, kind of by chance, because I broke my leg and I couldn't weight bear for a good 6-8 weeks. And after that, I had to go to PT because I couldn't move my leg and I needed to learn to walk again. And I had this conversation with the physical therapist, and it's funny because now I have these same conversations with my teenagers that come into the clinic about what they want to do when they grow up. And she was the one who said, when I told her I wanted to go into some kind of medical profession, she said, well, what about PT? And she explained, you know, I could work. It's kind of funny. You work day hours and, you know, you make good money and you're never on call. And
that's what they say. That's what they tell you.
I'm like, oh, that sounds good. So I'll look into that. And so that's kind of was my first, you know, exposure to physical therapy. But back then, you know, to volunteer in PT, it was really hard to get into the medical center's PT program to volunteer so I could get another look at it. So I just ended up being a candy striper on the orthopedic ward at the hospital. And then I just, you know, I was like a sophomore junior in high school. And I decided, well, yeah, let's give this a go. So I really, really didn't know what I was totally getting myself into at that point in my life because I was so young, but I was very passionate about helping people from the get-go. And that's kind of how it started.
It's always interesting, Jen, and I think about my own story and my own route of, you know, schooling and others that I know of. But there's this interesting, you know, concept behind these ideas of picking what you want to do and what you're passionate about. It always comes down to what you experienced. You know, at some point you experienced the care of a physical therapist, mm-hmm. Which, you know, if she's not here this morning, but our director, Jen Platt, she got into physical therapy by being a patient. Yeah. And so there's so many people that experience this patient care first. And then they realize, you know, that was awesome. I want to do that. Mm-hmm. So it's such a, you know, it's almost across the board. You ask people, how'd you get into this? Well, I experienced it.
Right.
So it's cool.
So I was just fortunate enough that I applied and I got in. And I, you know, leading into my experience at UVM, I was so happy to be there. I just couldn't believe I got accepted. In fact, my guidance counselor told me when I went to her and I told her I wanted to be a PT, she told me to pick something else. And I like to tell this story because no one should ever tell you not to try. And it is amazing to me that somebody who's in a position to counsel, I mean, I think in her intentions were good because she didn't want me to be disappointed and, but she really told me not to apply. And I was like, well, I'm going to apply anyway, because this is what I really want to do. And so the whole time I was in physical therapy school, I just felt so blessed to be there and so fortunate because they took a chance on me. I was a good student in high school, but, you know, I probably could have worked a little harder. I always tell this to my girls, you know, I get it. You're young and you have other things going on in your life. But anyway, while I was in PT school, I had such a great experience there. I worked really hard. I loved every aspect except for my freshman year. That was biochem. So no, that wasn't any fun. But when I got into the actual curriculum, I knew I was doing what I was supposed to be doing.
Awesome. As you know, my dad, Ron, spent time in dentistry beforehand and cadaver labs and things like that. Were you a cadaver person? Did you enjoy the dissection and the hands-on cadaver?
I remember the first day in that cadaver lab, I left there thinking, I can't do this. I can't be a PT. I cannot do this to another human. And by probably a month in, I was in there all the time because it was so fascinating. The human body just fascinated me. And I won't tell, you know, some stories of the cadaver lab.
Yeah. Well, it's just a funny, some people are so gravitated towards it. You know, they gravitate towards it and the dissection and the hands-on, you know, physical anatomy that you learn during those years. Some other people just want nothing, you know, they go in, they want to be done as soon as the time's up, they're out of there.
Right. No, I was in there all the time and it was just a great experience. And I think anatomy is what really charged me, anatomy and neuroanatomy. And I remember students being very just concerned about neuro. And when I got into neuroanatomy, it's kind of, you know, foreshadowing, I guess. I thought it was fascinating learning about the brain and the nervous system. And I think once you like really take interest in something, you do well at it because you're interested in it. So, you know, my first year in college was hard And not to say the next 3 years weren't difficult, because they really, you know, they work you hard in PT school, and they still do today. But because I loved it so much, I, you know, did well in PT school and really felt like and I'll talk a little bit about this when I get into how I got interested in PRI. But when I was in PT school, I kind of hung on every word my professor said as kind of gospel truth. And at that time, that's how it should have been. I mean, you can't really move on in your career until you have a foundation to apply it to.
Totally agree. Yeah. The other thing I wanted to mention was, so you, at that time, it was, you know, there still are a few bachelor's programs that are around, but it was fortunate for you to kind of get involved with physical therapy right off the bat. You know, you kind of knew what you were going to be putting your focus towards. And to me, that's such a blessing, you know, from being an outsider and observing how some of those routes work. It really allowed you to focus on what you were interested in. Yes. And maybe that neuro piece was, you know, it interested you, but it was probably a little bit too challenging for some other people, or maybe they were turned off by it.
I don't know. It's definitely hard studying the nervous system.
But I want to toot your horn a little bit for you, because I know you won't, but we'll get into it a little bit later. But Miss Poulin here is the queen of accepting challenges. So, you know, it probably challenged you, and it probably, as you mentioned, you know, if you're challenged by something, or if you're, you know, interested in something, you'll do well at it and you'll succeed at it because of that challenging aspect.
Yes.
So we'll get into that more a little bit later, but awesome story. Jen, I want to move a little bit into what your first kind of career-wise clinical exposure after school, after you got done at UVA?
UVM. So it's
I always get the acronym wrong.
Well, that's because it's like the Latin, it goes off of University Vermontis. That's where the UVM acronym comes from.
So after schooling, what, take us through a little bit of your first exposure to the clinical side of care, what that looked like for you, if it was different than what you expected, or where you were as far as setting wise for that.
Okay, so when I was in PT school, I did my very last internship down in New Orleans at Ochsner Hospital, and it was like a very coveted affiliation, because being from the Northeast and going to the Deep South, it was like most students wanted to go there. And plus it was New Orleans. And remember, I was like 21, 22. So we had a legacy of students going to this hospital, Ochsner in New Orleans. And so I got it. So I went down there for 3 months and I did a great internship. It was like a rotational internship. I got to do acute care. I got to do rehab. I worked with a really awesome therapist in rehab, and I thought maybe that's the path I would go down because I loved neuro so much. I worked in a setting where I got to do wound care. That was really cool. So that's where I actually started my career, because I had ideas of going to move to Boston. I wanted to leave Vermont right after school because I grew up there. But they offered me a job, and I was having such a good time in New Orleans, and I made some great friends, and I loved the hospital, and I loved what I was learning, so I did it. And I just basically, I graduated, and then I packed up the U-Haul, and I remember my parents just, like, letting me go. So there I was in this, like, 10-foot U-Haul, and my mom and dad saying, good luck, Jen.
See you later.
And that's how they raised me. So they raised me to just, you know, go take it on, right? And so I think, you know, now I'm reflecting back on that early experience of, you know, moving my life at 22 years old. I think I was 22. Yeah, I was 22, and off I went. And they just let me go. And it was great. But New Orleans was really not the place for me. It had a lot of crime, and I'm not going to talk too much about that. Nothing happened to me. But I ended up moving to Tennessee. I call this the pre-Chris years.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. I was just going to get there, you know, for our listeners, Jen's husband, Chris Poulin, for any of you that don't know, is also a PRT certified through the Institute. And we'll get into a little bit of Chris's story. But I was going to ask, you know, was Chris around at this time? Did he also just follow you everywhere?
It's kind of like BC years. And, you know, I will say that Chris and Jen Poulin are the first PRI couple out there. There's some other, I've heard people trying to take our, you know, our claim to fame, but we are the first PRI couple. So I'm going to talk briefly about the pre-Chris years because, you know, they're pre-Chris. And, yeah. But there, I did have a life before him. So, and he knows the story. When I was in New Orleans, I met a boy, and that boy was from Tennessee. And that boy moved back to Tennessee, and this girl decided to follow her heart. So I moved out of New Orleans to Nashville, Tennessee. And that is when I, you know, there's, you had some like notes for our meeting about some of your regrets, and it wasn't following the boy. That was not a regret, but I took a job in a hospital setting there, and I had a choice, and the choice was take the job where I could make more money or take the job where I could have learned more. And I chose the money because I was a young single girl who needed to pay my bills. And that's probably one of my bigger regrets clinically is that I didn't take that job at Vandy. And I probably would have learned a lot at Vanderbilt working in their, you know, sports medicine department. But I think we make choices for reasons in life. And ultimately what happened was I decided that Nashville wasn't for me and that boy really wasn't for me. So I moved back home because I was spending all of my vacation time going back to Vermont. And so I moved back and I took a job with one of my very first, outside of my director of PT, little shout out to Sam Feidelberg. He was my first, very first mentor who gave me my wings. And taught me how to work hard and continue to work hard. But then I met a man named Scott Sears. And Scott Sears was a private practitioner in Burlington. And I think the Institute knows Scott very well because he was one of the first PRI people in Burlington. And Scott took a chance on me because I had really zero outpatient experience. And he was my very first clinical mentor. And I learned so much from Scott. And unfortunately, at that time, the practice that we were working in was not doing so well. Burlington, Vermont, at that time, was starting to become very monopolized by the hospital system. And there was a merger between the two hospitals and the physician group. And, you know, rumor had it there was a policy not to refer out. So those kind of early business years were really tough. And so Scott moved on and kind of left me behind. And that's okay because I learned a lot of lessons in those early years of how to manage people. And I just kind of got thrown into that. So that leads me to my next mentor. And my next mentor was Jim Downs. And Jim Downs was a physical therapist out of Maryland. And his daughter, Katie, was a freshman at UVM. And he wanted to like do, it's going to come full circle in this podcast, what Jim was doing and what I'm going to do now in my career. But Jim, he was the next one to take a chance on me. And he bought the practice that I was working in. And basically that brings us to Long Trail Physical Therapy. And I can keep talking if you want.
Yeah, well, no, you're doing great. And it's just your progression through these early years in Vermont. We're summarizing it so quickly, but it, you know, each one of those mentors and each one of those kind of trials, and they all came with their own challenges. But as you said, it's so fun to sit here and listen to you, Jen, because we'll make that full circle later. But yeah, take us into, so your first kind of, I would say permanent, you know, your first kind of, not permanent, but kind of stabilized setting where would lead you to this Long Trail Physical Therapy.
Yeah, so that was probably in 97, somewhere around there, 96, 97. And basically Jim bought the practice out and made me a shareholder of that practice. And it was my baby. It was mine to kind of rescue with his help. Like he was the wisdom and the financial support for me to try and turn that practice around. That was hard because of the environment. There wasn't a whole lot of competition in the outpatient arena at that time. There was another practice who I'll talk about that like kind of leads into the next discussion of how I learned about PRI. But I worked with Jim for, I don't know, like 97 to two, actually it was 2002, when I was a shareholder of Long Trail. Yeah. So during those years of Long Trail, I learned a lot what to do. I learned a lot what not to do. It was before I ever took a PRI class. So I was in the culture of a high volume practice, which, you know, I could handle because I didn't know so much. Yeah. And I could do what I was trained to do and I could do it well, but I was getting increasingly frustrated.
Well, and talk to us a little bit about, you know, the struggles in the community. You know, Burlington and Vermont in general are such a, you know, a second home for this institute. It's one of those early places that was foundational to the growth of this institute. And we're always, you know, very thankful and try to acknowledge that as much as we can in these different areas. For example, Minneapolis was a similar place. But tell us a little bit about the challenges that came with, you know, at the time it sounds like the hospitals really had I don't want to use the word control, but it's fitting, but they kind of, you know, they kind of controlled who was referring to what. And it's the same today when you think about, you know, different administrations and hospital groups and, you know, the physician groups that they refer in and out of, it really limits these startup practices and the growth of them, and makes it very difficult. So kind of tell us what that was like at the time, who was referring to you, how did you build that client base? You know, you mentioned a high volume type clinic, but where was the volume coming from if the hospitals were working kind of on their own?
Yeah, that was when we became busy, was after a lot of just hard work getting marketing to more private physicians and to the public.
Yep.
And we had a little program, and this is where kind of Chris comes into the story a little bit. I can talk a little bit about the personal and then how that grew the business. So even prior to me starting Long Trail PT is when I met my husband. And he was an athletic trainer, still is today, but he was finishing up his hours for his certificate. And he was working as the student athletic trainer at a college called Champlain College in Burlington. And that was all being done underneath one of the athletic trainers that worked for me at the time. I had never met Chris. I knew his name, but I had never seen him because he was always somewhere else, like at a, you know, soccer game or basketball.
Yeah.
It wasn't really in the clinic. And then he needed some more hours. So he came into the clinic to finish up. And that's when I met him. And so I think the combination over the years is Chris and I, you know, we worked together and then we became involved and ultimately got married over those early years. But how we grew Long Trail was a combination of that outreach of the student athlete and going directly to the athlete. So I think Chris's influence on the work he was doing with the school allowed us to get the kid into the clinic, and then the kid then would bring the parent in, and then it kind of grew. So we didn't really grow the practice via physician referral because Vermont was a direct access state. It was more through community outreach and volunteering and the sports aspect of what we did, because we've always been involved in helping the student athlete. So that's kind of how it took off. And then, but I really wasn't very happy with what I was doing. I was getting increasingly frustrated. You know, people liked me and they liked coming to PT and I liked being a PT, but I had a higher standard of what I was doing. And I was just thinking that I can't spend my life seeing three patients at the same time and not really having time to think. And when they'd come in with a shoulder problem and then their hip would hurt, and I was like, oh, I can't treat your hip, you know, because I don't know how to connect the dots. I know that those dots are related. And I had a class in PT school that really excited me. It was a segmental alignment class, and we would look at the body, but we would never really get taught how to connect those things.
Well, that's what I was, it kind of leads us to, you know, you're building up this frustration and kind of seeing the point of view of, you know, I can't continue down this road of just treating a shoulder when they're coming to me saying more than the shoulder is at play here.
Yeah.
But it kind of brings the question up, Jen, was it Chris or yourself that first heard about PRI, or kind of walk us through that first exposure with PRI? And I apologize, but I don't know whether it was Chris or you that first, you know, kind of were exposed to it. You know, I know your first course was around that 1999-ish area. And I'm not sure, was that a protonics course or was that a postural course?
It was PRI course, but how that all happened was because of that frustration I was having. I decided I was going to maybe try and apply for other jobs. Like, I was really frustrated and a little burnt out. So I started applying for other jobs, like a workers' comp adjuster, and I got like one phone interview because I wasn't really qualified for those jobs. But so then I went back to the University of Vermont and I did career counseling and it was great. I went up there, I met with the counselor 4 times. And at the end of it, she said, "I'm sorry to tell you this, but you're best suited to be a physical therapist." So I'm like, oh.
So one career, one counselor tells you you're not suited to be a physical therapist.
Right,
exactly. You're out of school and you go back to a counselor. Actually, you're made for this.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, she said, "Why don't you go find something else to do besides what you're doing? Like, go to the hospital." Well, there weren't any jobs anywhere. So I decided to take some continuing education courses. And that was, I think that was the year Chris and I were getting married. I'm trying to remember. It's a little foggy because it's been 20 years. So I did that. I took an ergonomic course, but I had a really good friend who kind of had the corner on the market of ergonomics in Vermont. And there really isn't a whole lot of industry up there. So I was like, well, I'm not going to do that to Louise. That's her thing. So then I took like a Mulligan course and I took just all kinds of courses. And there was a clinician in town, and her name was Leslie Bell. And Leslie Bell owned Timberlane Physical Therapy, and that's where Scott went to go work when he left. And she said, "Jen, as soon as I have an opening, you know, we'll bring you in for an interview." But she didn't have any openings at the time. But what she did do is she had an employee. This is kind of how I got exposed to PRI. Her name is Micheline Carroll, who's a good friend today of the Institute and of mine. And Micheline was also an athletic trainer. And she took a protonics course. And she went back to her job at Timberlane and was putting the protonics on all of her patients. Well, this is, you know, I'm probably making up some of the story now.
Of her patients.
I mean, this is kind of the story I tell. Because it was the exercise system that you've talked about with your dad in the previous podcast. Yep. About, you know, it's a neuromuscular device. And so Leslie being Leslie and who she is, she was like a go-getter. So she wanted to know more. So she hired your dad to come in, and she brought him from Lincoln, Nebraska, and did a private course at her clinic. So she called me, and I mean, I could be like embellishing this story, but what I do remember is there were multiple phone calls to me from Leslie Bell. And the last one she said is, "Listen, I know you're frustrated. You don't even have to pay for this. If you're going to join our staff one day, you need to be on the same page." And I was like, "It's not about the money. I'm just tired. I don't want to listen to anybody else." So the end of the story is I did go.
Well, yeah. And it sounds like she basically, you know, no one forces you to do anything you don't want to do, but it's like enough phone calls, you know, I'll be there. Fine.
Leslie was an influencer. You know, today we have influencers on social media, yeah. But Leslie is a real go-getter. I have a lot of respect for her and still do today of the things that she's done in her career. But she influenced me, and I was at a point where I was like, okay, I'm going to do it. You know, I just kind of was like, what else am I going to do? And Chris, I think, was the one who really gave me the push. He's like, "You're not happy. Just go. What do you have to lose? It's just 2 days. And that's when I met your dad. And that was in 99 or 98. I can't remember now when
that was 99, but I could be wrong as well.
Yeah. So anyway, it was a while ago, and he didn't really have an institute at the time, but he had his science. And I think he was at a point when people wanted him to talk about it, he was often talking about it. And I was just fortunate enough to like meet him at a time in my career where I was like really going, now what am I going to do? And that's when my path turned, and I've been on the PRI path ever since.
That's awesome, Jen. I've never heard that story. So I, you know, as our listeners listen to it, it's also a first for me. Michelin, obviously I'm very familiar with Michelin and kind of that group, but I've never heard that story of your first exposure. So then after this kind of private course that you attended, did you eventually work with that clinic then, or take us through your next job? I mean, where was your next setting? And then what was your first kind of official PRI course then after it came back?
So I left that class and I was just fired up. I didn't know what your dad was talking about. I mean, I was in an orthopedic mindset of an Ober and a Thomas test. And I remember him coming over and going, what are your test findings? I'm like, I have no idea. I don't know what you're talking about, but I'm pretty excited about it. And I went back to the clinic, and that was at Long Trail. And I did what you told me not to do. I took the manual. I set it on the treatment table with the patient. And my patients were always really excited about me being excited about something, right? And they were excited to be my quote-unquote guinea pigs with this new science and this new approach. So I like worked at that, but that was at a time where there wasn't really courses, right? That was my first exposure, but that was kind of like, I didn't know
that what was it.
Because there was no institute. So I just did my best, but I did end up, okay, so that was like 99. That's the year Chris and I got married. And then shortly after we got married, I had my first child, Madison. So I got kind of in a mode of back to my old way of doing things. I was still working with Jim and I was trying really hard. And then I heard that your dad was invited to speak at the University of Vermont. And I found out too late to get into the course. And then I called my friend who used to work with me, who was working at the university now. And she said, oh, I can't go to day two. You can go in my place. So that was after I had Madison. She was born in 2000. I showed up for day two and your father remembered me. And I made a point from that course that he was going to know my name. And I worked really hard in making sure that your father knew my name over the next, like, I don't know, 7 years following. So because I knew what he was doing was really special and it was really starting to have a huge impact on my life and on my patients' lives. So I feel like getting back to that class the second time, even though it was just one day, it like went, oh, okay, I can, now I understand it. I heard it for the second time. Now I have a deeper understanding of what he's doing. And so I went back and I practiced and applied and applied. So that course wasn't even an institute course. That was, I think, the same course, postural restoration.
Yep. And that occurred, you know, it's funny that, well, there's a couple things I want to touch on. It's this idea of making sure that he knew you. Actually, just with Mike's podcast, Mike mentioned the same type of mentality where, you know, there's people that, you know, you want to get to know, and there's people that, you know, you want that, you know, you want them to know you. So this idea of like, he will know who I am because I will make sure of it. That's a similar, you know, a similar voiced kind of idea from multiple faculty members. But the other thing, you know, you want to mention is that this was prior to the institute. So we have this postural restoration course,
right,
that would eventually lead to the creation of this institute. But as you mentioned, you know, you're trying to take these concepts back to a clinical setting, and you know, you only have one manual to go off of. So it's at the time, you know, you probably weren't the only frustrated one.
But. No, I'm sure. You know, it was exciting and worth just practicing. So I think then that was like the institute then was born. And
yep.
And I remember hearing rumors that there were that they changed the name. I was like, he changed the name. So he changed the name to postural respiration. And then there was the birth of myokinematics. And, you know, remember, I was like a young mom at this time. And so I was busy, like, I was a working full-time mom. So I really was focused on Madison. I mean, I was definitely focused on my career, but I kind of missed a few things that going on in the community. So I caught wind that Ron was coming back to Vermont to teach this new course, myokinematics of the hip and pelvis. I attended that course and I was like, oh my gosh, there's a hip underneath it. This is the connection. So, you know, that's kind of how it all started for me. And then once I had two courses or three courses under my belt, then I felt like I was doing a better job connecting the dots and doing myokinematic work. And those were the early years. And so then that led to, okay, now my engine's slowing down at work. So it's hard for me to see three people at one time because I don't have enough time to think. And I really needed time to think. So that is, you know, in a very concise, that's when Chris and I decided to leave Long Trail PT and start our own practice.
Well, let's get into it, Jen. At that time, was this the foundation of, and forgive me if it was something prior, but was this the foundation of Sandhills Sports Performance?
No, this is Pool.
This is Pool and Performance prior to. So, yeah, yes.
Yes. So
Pool and Performance in Vermont was what was next after Long Trail.
Yes, that was the birth of Pool and Performance, and it's kind of a funny personal story that at that time I was like, again, I was busy, and I actually started like exercising and running and getting really into running at that time, and Vermont was a big running community, and wasn't that I was very fast, but I was pretty good at it. And I just was like, all right, I said to Chris, I'm like, I don't think I want to have any more kids. I feel like I've got good work-life balance. He's like, okay, that's fine. I'll support you, but we need to leave this practice and start our own. And the very next day, and I agreed, and the very next day he resigned, and that was the birth of Pool and Performance. And for those of you that know me personally, know that Chris got everything he wanted because Lord gifted us with our second daughter, Devin. And so we got the practice, he got his second child, and, you know, we just were off and running. So that was in the early 2000s is when Pool and Performance was born. And the growth and development of Pool and Performance was really intimately tied to Chris's work at the University of Vermont. And he had kind of a subcontracting position with the men's basketball program. And he always was their strength coach. This was in 97, 98, he was working with the men's basketball program. And then they were short staffed, so they hired him to be their athletic trainer for just basketball. So he was a strength coach and basketball trainer. And that really helped launch our business. So that exposure, again, what we did with Long Trail and what we did with Pool and Performance and all the exposure we got with Chris being the trainer really helped our business. And it grew pretty fast.
And so I know, you know, we'll get into it as we start talking about your multiple, you know, businesses and clinics, you know, starting of clinics and growth. But, you know, Chris is such a, you know, it's almost like we're having a podcast about both of you because there's so many stories with both you and Chris involved together. But Chris is just such a passionate you know, trainer and strength coach when it comes down to it with these involvement with universities or sports teams. You know, he's still involved today as you know more than I do with different athletic groups, but it's such a fun balance to watch both of you to see kind of that performance side of things and then also your kind of more clinical involvement. You know, take us through the early, as you mentioned, that was a good accelerant or a launch of your Pool and Performance, and it's still, you know, you guys still do it today. So the balance between that performance side of things and the clinical side of things is so cool to see brought to life on a daily basis that I don't think a lot of people get that chance or that opportunity to have.
Yeah, we're pretty blessed to, you know, have that marriage both in our, you know, spiritual life and then also in our work life. And it's just been so great for us to merge those two aspects of healthcare together under one roof. And Poulin Performance grew with his work with the University of Vermont. And that was right around the time I was having Devin, the second child. We launched Poulin Performance and then we had Devin, and then he took on that role as trainer.
Yeah. So, you know, once, you know, you guys talked about kind of this, and you've mentioned it a few times that, you know, you have kids in life or you start a family and you kind of, you know, for a mom, or not that you didn't have a career still, but it your focus shifts and, you know, you take care of your kids and your family life. You know, Poulin Performance grew, as you know, and I know, into such a successful and, as you mentioned, quick growing clinic. I think, Jen, do you know how long? I think it was like, it was over a decade, but how long, you know, was Poulin Performance around? Kind of take us through a little bit of the history behind Poulin Performance and, you know, where, from where it started to where it ended, kind of the transition that happened.
Yeah. So Poulin Performance, outside of just like the affiliate or Chris's affiliation with the university, I was putting the throttle down on when your dad launched a course, I showed up. So I think in 2002 was the, I think the third course was the TMCC course in Lincoln, and he launched it, I showed up. And so I took that course the first time he taught it. And then another course would come and I showed up because I was just so excited. And PRI is what we built. That's why we left Long Trail to start Poulin Performance, so that we could spend time with our patients and we could mentor other therapists. And after that year that I had Devin, our practice grew. And when I came back from that maternity leave, I had two PTs and two PTAs, and there wasn't really time. There wasn't any room for me in that practice when I came back, which was okay, because I had two little kids and, you know, we were busy. And so, you know, I had to, the day I found out I was pregnant with Devin was the day I was trying to decide whether I was going to run a marathon. And I had a different marathon, obviously, gifted to me. But that next year, instead of working full-time, I trained part-time and worked part-time and took PRI classes and had my staff take PRI classes. And I sent four clinicians to Lincoln for the first, what became advanced integration. I think at that point it was postural respiration and myokin in 4 days. And I sent all four of them out because I'm like, this is what we do, and you guys need to know how to do it. And so they came back, and that was the first year, I think it was 04, and that was the first certification class. And when they came back, they're like, we all need to be certified in this approach. And so they brought it back because I didn't even know the certification program had developed. And so that following year, myself and two of my colleagues became certified in the second class. So Poulin Performance was like the formative years of our own personal practice and our formative years of postural restoration. It was kind of like the think tank. And it was great. And those PTs that learned PRI with me were so excited about it, they decided they wanted to do their own thing. And they branched off from us. And, you know, those were some challenging years for Chris and I when we had key employees decide to leave us. And you know what? It shapes you. When things happen like that, you're either going to fold or you're going to grow stronger. And it wasn't easy, but we grew stronger. We hired more PTs and we mentored them. We brought people up to Vermont. Josh Olenek is someone who, you know, I'm so proud of him and his development. And I met him in Lincoln, Nebraska. And he, you know, he was at a transition point in his own personal life, and I sensed it. And so I said, hey, how would you feel about coming to Vermont? So he was part of Poulin Performance's growth and development. So when I look back on Poulin Performance and I see and reflect on all those PTs that worked for us and that we mentored and trained, and they either stayed with us or they branched off. It was great. So we did pull and performance for about 12, I think the business was there for 12 years, and Burlington was changing. The landscape was changing, and Vermont was a place that people wanted to live in, and the university was churning out PTs and they didn't want to leave Burlington, and I don't blame them for it. And so in those later years, there was a lot of physical therapy options. And I felt like we were going back to the beginning where we, when we had a steady referral stream, now we had a lot of competition.
Yeah.
And so that is kind of, that's what brought us. And there, then there's a little bit of like carryover of when the teaching started for. Well,
and that's what I was going to kind of, before we move away from pool and performance, I wanted to kind of go, you know, before we get on to your other clinical development and other clinics, I wanted to mention or bring up the teaching aspect. I believe we hosted at some point, well, several times once we started, but we started hosting courses at Pool and Performance. And because of the staff and the interest and the group of people you put together, obviously became a very high interested group in our science. So we eventually started hosting with you. Do you remember, I want to bring this story up. It was, you know, somewhere around 2009, 2010, you know, further on, you know, 9-10 years into your clinical practice, we hosted a course there, and kind of walk us through at that point, did we have other, was it pelvis? Do you remember, Jen? At that point we had other courses besides postural and myokin, but I can't remember what course we hosted with you that time.
So that was the cervical course, or okay, the TMCC course.
TMCC course.
And I, you know, over those, so from like when I really hit the throttle down in 03 to about 08, I was like, I really want to help people understand your dad's science. And I said to Chris, I'm like, I just love this so much. I just want to share it. And I knew, and I had listened to James speak. I was so excited that your dad had hired James, and I listened to him teach, and I was like, oh my gosh, I want to do this too. This looks like so much fun. And, you know, wouldn't it be great to help grow the Institute and be a part of that? And so this was after I think your dad knew my name. I mean, I would say, and, you know, I'd make sure I like put my name tag out there, and I'd ask, you know, questions, and I just made sure he knew who I was. And so by the time I was ready to put myself out there, that was that course. And your dad was 1 foot out the door, and your sister was there, and you were there, and you guys were going to go skiing at Sugarbush. And I waited. I was waiting for the right moment to tell him I wanted to teach. And I did it. I said, Ron, before you go, I just want you to know, if you're looking to grow your faculty and your institute, I would love to help you with that. And I want to teach. And I think I caught him off guard, because now I know how it is when you finish teaching a PRI course, and as tired as the students are, you're probably more tired than they are. And I don't think he like expected me to say that at that time, but I just planted the seed, and you know, that's what I try and teach my girls. You just have to put yourself out there. And the worst thing that you can hear is no.
Yeah. And I just got done. You know, if you listen to Mike's podcast, we kind of talked about the same topic of, you know, what, and it's the same topic with you going to PT school. Like, you know, you're told that you shouldn't do something. Well, first of all, you should never be told you shouldn't do something.
Right.
Second of all, what is it going to hurt you to try? You know, you just put yourself out there. So it's funny, Jen, because it is still in my memory, and I was probably a teenager at the time, but here's Jen, and you still have the same smile on your face, like, you know, all revved up and ready to go. Like, I've got to catch him before he leaves.
Right.
So I remember the conversation, and then I do remember what the funny part about it is. I remember getting in the car after the conversation, and you're right. It didn't take him off guard, but it did. You know, it wasn't like something he expected.
Right.
But at the time, it gave him an increased passion, because he knew there was other people passionate about it.
Yeah.
So for you to come up to him and say, you know, I want to be a part of this, it really, I think, validated what was already happening.
Right.
So, you know, obviously you're here today as a faculty member, but it was such a fun story to, and really a similar story to how other faculty members have come, you know, come aboard as well, is just by trying and putting yourself out there and saying, you know, obviously I'm passionate about this, but I'd actually like to help teach it. So.
Yes. And just spread the science. So, I started that training process I guess I planted the seed and he agreed to hire me to help. And that was a year later, I got the call, and that was another, I was like, so excited. I was like, this is a dream come true, you know, getting into PT school and, you know, starting my own business and now being able to help with the Institute. It's like, well, what did I do to deserve all this? So I started training with James Anderson, and I followed him around for, I don't know, 6 courses. I grilled him. I made sure I knew the minutiae, myokin. And then I started teaching in 2010 for the Institute. And that was myokin that I started. And then I can't even remember the year I started teaching pelvis, but Lori Thompson mentored me with the pelvis course. And so now I teach those 2 courses.
Well, and I will, I look forward to speaking with Lori as well on this podcast, but just briefly, Jen, we don't have a lot of time left, but briefly kind of maybe walk us through how you became more involved with pelvis and with Lori. I know you guys are so passionate together as this pelvis course was developed. At the time, it may not have even been developed. So, you know, Lori's kind of maybe working with my dad after she got hired at the clinic. We'll talk about her story later on, you know, with her. But walk us through kind of how you got involved with that pelvis material.
Well, the pelvis course, you know, they launched the pelvis course and it was very popular. And there's only so much Lori Thompson to go around. And so I can't remember who called me and said, hey, do you want to teach the pelvis course? And I was like,
maybe it was Lori's probably calling you like, Lori, you know, Jen, we need more help.
I need your help. How do you feel about teaching the pelvis course? And I was like, well, I need to take it first because it was so new. I hadn't taken it yet. I got shipped a manual and I looked at the material and, you know, I was like, this is awesome. This is a missing link. And I was treating everybody with respiration, the neck with TMCC and the hip. And I was getting really good outcomes, but then there were people that I was like struggling with. And then when I listened to Lori teach that course, I was like, oh my goodness, the pelvis and the thorax, there's where it's at. And so I got involved in teaching that. She mentored me, and it's been awesome because I have some therapists on my staff who are getting involved in women's health. And I have an employee who's doing it here at Sandhills who just took her first internal course, and watching her excitement integrating those two together and being able to mentor her with PRI aspects of pelvis and the pelvic floor internal work that she's starting to do, it's really amazing, the combination.
Well, you know, kind of the idea of the missing link, obviously pelvis is now one of our primary core courses. But we have so many, I get so many phone calls, Jen, with people saying, you know, where to start or what's the best course for me, or, and we talk them through it and listen to, you know, how they practice or what setting they're in. But this pelvis course, you know, at the time, that scenario matches still today to what people feel. You know, they take those 2, myokin, respiration, they may take an affiliate course like fitness or Pilates. But then they're still kind of missing something. You know, there's still a piece that, well, take the pelvis course. So we now actually have a lot of people take it first and yes. And love it. And it's just as big of a piece, as you know, as any course is. So that story of kind of how the pelvis course came to be is really, you know, it's really the answer to when people call and say, you know, I'm missing something. What am I missing? Well, take all 3 primary courses first. And then, you know, try to get that bigger picture of the whole system at play. But yeah, the pelvis course has developed into such a great tool and piece of the science that you and Lori and Jesse and so many people do such a great job, you know, teaching. And now you're enjoyed from home as well. So you're able to teach people on those home studies too. So.
Yes. Oh, yes.
So catch Jen on the pelvis home study if you haven't. But Jen, I want to, so that kind of walks us through your involvement with becoming faculty and getting more involved teaching the science. At that point, you're still at Pool and Performance, but after becoming faculty and being more involved with this institute, let's move on to the next chapter of you and Chris deciding that, you know, there's something else out there. There's something next in our journey, kind of your next chapter of putting the door, you know, closing the door on Pool and Performance in Vermont and the desire to move back up to, you know, the Carolinas and North Carolina. So.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm going to try and keep it brief because I know we're going for a little while here. I'm just going to say it as it is. We kind of like we're having a midlife crisis, you know, we felt like, you know, and when I say crisis, I don't mean we were in crisis, but
yeah. We
felt at that point that we had done everything we could do in Burlington, South Burlington, Chittenden County. We had given of ourselves to our practice, the people that worked for us, the people we mentored. And I just was like, there's got to be more. There's got to be more. And my parents retired in Pinehurst, North Carolina. They were aging. We went to visit one Christmas, and I just had this, like, I don't know, this epiphany. I'm like, this is where we need to be. So we started that process, and we moved to North Carolina in 2012. Our kids were 9 and 12 at the time. They were at the perfect ages to go. I could tell lots of stories about that process, but we sold Pool and Performance. And when we moved to Sand Hills, I really wasn't wanting to get back into private practice, but Chris sure did. So you can kind of see the pattern here.
Well, and that's so, what, yeah. So I asked either my dad or Jen Platt, a couple of days ago, as I was writing this outline up, you know, wait a second, right? They sold Pool and Performance. They were, I thought, ready to be done with, you know, kind of private practice and growing a clinic. And here so soon after, you guys move up to North Carolina. And so it sounds like Chris was the itching hair on the skin to get back into the.
There's a book written by Simon Sinek, and it's called, I think I'm saying his name right, Start With Why. And I know the why. He has the what we're going to do about the why, and I'm the how we're going to do it. Because you can't just be a why person. So when we moved to North Carolina, I got a job in a skilled nursing facility, and it was the best 9 months I had had in a long time because I could take a break from the business aspect of things. I was working with some phenomenal people who had lived awesome lives, and I was using PRI in that skilled nursing facility. I ended up being the Medicare B therapist because I had so much outpatient experience. But while I was doing that to support the family, Chris hung the shingle of Sandhill Sports Performance, and he wanted to work with golfers. And in Pinehurst, that was another reason we chose there. Besides being there for my aging parents, he's an avid golfer, and I'm sure you'll have him on and talk about golf, so I'm not going to steal his thunder. But he was doing so much corrective work with these people. He was like, Jen, can you come in and just see, you know, a couple of people on the side after work? And I was like, okay, I'll come in and I'll see a couple of patients. And it was a little extra money for us in the transition point in our lives. So a couple patients after work became 4 patients after work. 2 days a week became 4 days a week. And then I had to bill for all that. And the next thing you know, Madison said to me, Mom, I thought we moved here so you wouldn't work so much. And when I crunched the numbers, I realized it was time. So I quit my day job and I joined Chris. He jokes around that I'm his first hire. And he had a very similar thing happen in the Sandhills that happened at Pool and Performance. It's like, if you build it, they will come. And that's like turning into our, what I call the next chapter of our life. If you build it, they will come. And we now have mentored, we probably have 8 employees now. We're hiring a new PT. When when PTs come and go now, it doesn't really, I can't say it doesn't bother me, because I love the people that come to work for us. And when their lives change and they have things they want to do, or their spouse is in the military and they have to move on, it's just the circle of life. And I don't take it personally. Professionally, it's a little bit of a hit, but I know now that we're well equipped to bring people up in PRI in a pretty efficient manner. The way the Institute has evolved, we have evolved in our mentorship, and my whole career is about mentorship when it comes down to it, mentoring my patients, mentoring clinicians, mentoring staff, mentoring my kids. I just love to mentor. And what I see in the horizon for us is mentoring other people who want to do what we have done and how we've grown our businesses in with PRI. And I know that the only reason that we're successful besides who we are as people is because of PRI.
Well, and you know, I'll thank you from the Institute, but it's because of you guys that we evolved the similar way we have evolved. You know, you guys and Pool and Performance maybe was the initial start for this kind of mindset that you and Chris both have. But, you know, you came in at a time where, as we said earlier, there wasn't an institute around. So as the Institute evolved, you and similar other PRCs and PRTs out there kind of evolved with it. You know, it's changing. Not only are we still changing and evolving, but you see these clinical providers and whether they're PRI certified or not, you know, different things in your life, different schools of thought, different methods of training kind of force you to, you know, co-evolve alongside of them. Right. I do want to mention, Jen, you brought up, you know, the military, and you brought up golf with Chris. I do want to just spend a quick minute on the influence that where you're at location-wise has on your practice. I know you guys are such a resource for those military households. You know, spouses that go through labor themselves and are stuck at home on base with growing families. It could be the active duty military, you know, patients themselves that come in. And then you have the golfing community, as you mentioned. But just kind of briefly discuss how that influences Pool and Performance and just how that has shaped how your clinic now kind of operates and evolved.
Yeah, you know, when we moved to Pinehurst, we were thinking retirement community, golf community, and what we found was this amazing military community. And part of what launched our business was working with active duty people in the Army who were pretty beat up. And we had a referral source who was Chris was training her. She was a golfer and she had her own issues. And she was like, oh my gosh, we need this for this pain interventional center that she worked at down at Womack. And so she was able to get referrals off base to our clinic because we were a certified PRI clinic, because it's not easy to get TRICARE if you're active duty to allow you to go off base for healthcare in a civilian clinic like ours. But this physician was able to do that. And I mean, I'll never forget my first soldier that I worked with, and he jumped out of airplanes and served our country. And he had such a great outcome working with the work that we did. And because I really didn't have that many patients, I was able to spend a lot of time with him, and we still keep in touch. He's now living in Germany with his wife, and I've had, I mean, the people that I have served in Vermont and the people that I serve here in the Sandhills, it's not just them, it's their wives and their kids. And it's kind of emotional because our country's, you know, the military is the backbone of our country, and to be able to help these people when their husbands are deployed or their wives are deployed and they've got these kids to take care of and their body's hurt and they can't sleep because they're the sole, you know, caregiver.
Yeah. Well, and you mentioned that it also affects, you know, it can affect not only their schedules, obviously, of commotion and disarray, but then you also have staff members who are affected by it. And your own staff is kind of, you know, sometimes in and out the door based off of, you know, they may need to move to Germany next week. So
that's right. and we have hired 3 military spouses. And, you know, we have had one leave because her husband deploys all the time and she's doing awesome work. Her name's Addie Holzman, and she flew our nest and she's soaring high. And I'm very proud of what Addie's going to do in her career.
Yeah. I definitely wanted to take a minute just to respect that community. And I'm not around it daily like you guys are, but as you mentioned, they are the backbone of not only our country, but of, you know, how our country operates and the fortune that we have to be able to sit here and talk about it. You know, you guys not only do so well with those communities, but it seems to me that these both clinics that we've talked about so far, I think one of the reasons, Jen, that your motto of if you build it, they will come is kind of the fact that you've fallen into these communities where initially you didn't maybe realize that the need or that community was there. But as you get your practice started and as you grow, you know, they do come because they are there. And wherever there is, there's some type of community that is looking for help and looking for success.
Yeah.
It's very cool to watch from the outside. And again, I just wanted to make sure we definitely spent a minute, you know, appreciating that community. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, Sandhills is awesome. And, you know, these girls that we talked about, our kids, you know, Madison is a freshman. She's just finishing in 2 weeks. She's going to finish her freshman year at UVM. And that makes me really proud that she went back to Vermont. She loves what she calls Burley. And she's, you know, unfortunately, she's not interested in health sciences. But, you know, and Devin, I don't know what she's going to do, but she's going to fly the nest here soon. You know, maybe she'll go to Belmont. Who knows? We're exploring it. But, yeah. You know, it leads us into what Chris and I really want to do next, which is take all that we've learned in with PRI and business and try and help spread PRI and give people a platform and help them if they want to have their own businesses. And that's what we'll have time to do once, you know, our kids are nest.
Well, and I want to commend you and Chris both, you know, as you know, our listeners may not know kind of the situation around the Institute. And I was brought up around these same challenges of balancing work and family life. And, you know, I credit my parents for the way they raised me as well. And the way you guys are raising your daughters in such a manner that you do it to where the balance somehow, and I don't even know how I'm not a parent yet, but somehow you guys have managed to balance that family life and your two daughters with several different clinics, starting them from the ground up. And so Jen, for me personally, I can really appreciate how well you guys have done to focus on your family and your girls. So I really commend you for that. And as you mentioned, there'll be a next chapter. So I do want to hear before we end kind of, you know, let you discuss what you're most excited about in the future and these other opportunities that will come. I know you're, you know, considering and planning to try to be more of a outreach type clinic, and you're going to try to do some more growth and mentoring in other locations. So if you want to kind of walk us through what you're most excited about in those future years coming up, and where you think your growth and your next chapter will lead you.
Well, first and foremost, I mean, I told your dad, I can't wait to know what I don't know. Cause I know I don't know a lot. I know I know a lot, but I know there's a whole lot I don't know. And so that really motivates me to, like, if he's going to launch a new course, I'm going to show up. So I showed up in February and I'm going to show up in October, and I just keep showing up because it's just what I'm passionate about. And I really want to help my patients, and I want to get them better fast and as efficiently as I can and give them the tools. And so then, you know, I would love to teach more. You know, I have kind of like pulled back a little bit on how much I'm teaching in the last couple of years because of my girls, and
for good reason. Yeah.
My time is short with them in the nest, and, you know, they'll always be my kids, but I look forward to maybe teaching the respiration course and maybe some secondary courses over the next 10 years of my professional career with PRI, because I mean, I thought I was going to teach the respiration course first. I haven't taught it yet. And so it's been years and I still haven't taught it, but I've told your dad and Jen, I'm like, I'm not ready. I want to like get Devin out of the nest and then, you know, I'll do more. But what we really want to do is help mentor clinicians that want to maybe have their own business. And we've already incorporated a business in Greenville, South Carolina. We're in the interview process right now. We have some really great candidates that are interested in taking that risk and leap of faith with Chris and I. And our intention is to find areas of need that or want PRI in their communities and help people get their businesses off the ground with us, with the intention of, you know, we're not going to be at this forever. You know, we can give you an infrastructure that will work for you, or at least to start you off. So we have about 5 cities right now that we have clinicians that we worked with or taught or Chris has mentored that really want outpatient PRI clinic in their community. So I'm not going to promote that on this podcast, but we are, you know, that's our next chapter in the next probably 10, 15 years of our professional career is continuing our knowledge of PRI, teaching more. I know you'll talk to Chris about what he's doing with James with an affiliate course next year. We're just really excited. It's kind of, you know, I feel like I'm not peaking by any means, but I feel like all this growth and development that we talked about in this last hour has really led us to a really kind of cool chapter that we're just opened.
Yeah. Well, and you know, it's ever evolving as it is with the Institute or with any of your clinics. It'll evolve over the next several years into something that we don't even know. You know, we can't talk about it now because we don't know what it'll look like then.
Right.
But, you know, you guys, as you mentioned, you know, if you take kind of, it's hard to take PRI out of it because it is such a part of your clinical development, but just the ability to give someone your knowledge, you know, this is what happened with us. We've been around the block. We've started numerous clinics with PRI as a part of that. But just to be able to share with these other interested clinical minded people that may want to get out there on their own, but don't necessarily have the background or the tools to do it, I think is a very good opportunity for especially those people. You know, it's a good opportunity for you and Chris, but you're at the point where I think it's more beneficial for the other parties involved.
Right.
Because you guys are using your knowledge and your background of successful, and you know, you're more aware than anyone the struggles and the challenges that come with these things.
Right.
But to be able to share that with someone else is a very powerful tool. So
yeah,
I definitely look forward to watching it grow.
Yeah, it just kind of brings it all back full circle to that opportunity I was given when I was 27 years old by one of my early mentors with Jim Downs. And it's what he did. And I, you know, I had no idea that my career would continue to go down this path, but I'm like, oh, here I am. I'm going to do and want to do the same thing that Jim did, and being able to give people the opportunity to learn and mentor them and, you know, continue to teach. You can't ever teach somebody from your own mistakes, but all of these things that have happened over the years, it's like, well, if a therapist leaves, it's okay. You know, we're going to hire a new PT, you know, and we're going to find great people to join us. And so we're really excited about that. And I, you know, when I started talking today, I was like, oh, wow, I have had a career of mentorship.
Yeah. Well, and Jen, you know, I'm sure all of our listeners will be paying close attention and are excited about that as well. And opportunities to come. Before we wrap up here today, Jen, I just want to, you know, take it back to your life outside of PRI, to your girls and your family and Chris and your parents. You know, you mentioned several times you love running and you know, you're obviously an avid runner and have other hobbies. But when it comes down to it, Jen, and you take PRI out of it and your clinic out of it, when you return home to your dogs, what are you most excited about after work or outside of work besides running and any other hobbies or things you enjoy doing?
Oh, I always say I love the idea of golf and I love playing golf. It's just, it takes so much time right now. So it's kind of like if I wasn't working and right, or if I had more time, what would I do with that time? And I'm really, you know, I'm interested in playing golf and exercise and, you know, traveling and spending time with my family. You know, I've gotten closer and closer to my family, not just my kids, but my sister and my brother and my parents and my, you know, I think it's like, if I could do anything, I'd want to spend more time with them. And that's what we're trying to do. I think we're all, as we're getting a little older, appreciate family. And, so, you know, if I had more time, I'd finish all those books I've started. I look forward to, you know, someone said, if you haven't read it yet, you're not going to read it. I'm like, well, you should see my bedside table. I've got, you know, 7 books that are half open. So, I like to read and learn. I love fiction. I love to knit. I've got a project. I'm almost done. I did finish that scarf I made for Madison while I was at Advanced Integration. I did finish that. So, you know, I'm just like really passionate about the life that I lead, you know, and it's kind of a hard question to answer because it's like, well, what else do I do besides what you mentioned?
Yeah. Well, and it's so fun, Jen. It's just so fun to watch you and to be mentored by. I consider you a mentor for myself as well, but you're such a exuberant person. I always love, you know, seeing you and I appreciate your time today. I really am thankful for your hour. I do want to plug briefly the course you're attending this weekend because as you mentioned of travel,
yes.
you're away from home as we speak, attending the Pilates course. So it's like, well, do you actually do anything else or are you just traveling for PRI all the time?
Yeah, no. Well, I told you I'm going to show up, you know, and I am here in St. Louis. And a funny story is St. Louis is the first place I ever taught with James Anderson. And I was afraid to come back to the city because if any of those people are listening, that was my first time. And I thought I really bombed it. And I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to do it again. But here I am. I came back to St. Louis to take the Pilates course. I'm so excited about it. I started working with a Pilates instructor in preparation for this class because we have a reformer bed now. And so I just can't wait to learn from my, you know, affiliate faculty members.
I know, you know, we'll mention Donna and Sarah and I, you know, James, the work James does to put them together. But those two Pilates instructors in particular are so excited to grow this course. And for you to be there, I know will mean a lot to them. So I just wanted to mention, you know, as we wrap up, well, you're actually away from home as we speak. So, but Jen, once again, thank you so much for taking time this morning to have this conversation. You know, it's not for me. It's not for the Institute. It's really for that general public listener that's listening to this. You know, it's such the power of these stories, I think, is really what it's about. So again, I appreciate your time and I look forward to hearing about your time this weekend at the Pilates course. And I'm sure we'll see more to come of that, but tell everyone hello for us. And again, thank you for being here. So
sure.
Jen, any other additional comments or anything? Your podcast this morning can be found on your faculty page as well as your Find a Provider page on our website. We will definitely look forward to sharing your story. You have some social media, you know, following. You're on Instagram and Facebook and things like that, so people can find you on those if they choose to. But we will we'll continue to update your information as it comes. You're always, it seems at this point, we look forward to getting the I'm hiring email because it sounds to me like it will continue to happen, and we'll look forward to sharing your guys' growth and anytime that you are hiring, definitely check out our website to follow Jen and Chris as they continue to grow. So again, I thank you, Jen. And any other comments or things that you would like to mention?
No, you know, we're always going to be hiring. So if anyone wants to, like, you know, be mentored by Chris, we're still hiring. You know, we're growing so fast. We just hired a new PT we're really excited about. I really want to get more help in the clinic so that I can do these other projects. around the country that we're launching. So yeah, you know, never, anyone listening, never hesitate to reach out to us, because we'll find, if it's the right person, we'll find a place for you.
Well, I appreciate you sharing that, Jen. And once again, I will, we'll do our best to share any information we have, and we'll share this podcast and all your information on your different pages. So thanks for being here, Jen. Enjoy the Pilates course.
Thanks. I look forward to it.
If you're interested in learning more about the Postural Restoration Institute, you can visit our website at posturalrestoration.com. You can also email me directly at info@posturalrestoration.com, or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter to see how PRI Nation is currently applying this science. As always, thank you for listening, and I look forward to having you on our next episode.